Okay. Okay, so today we're going to, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, be starting the Malacha of Lush. Lush is our 10th Malacha in the Sidur de Pas. It's our second to last Malacha. We're almost done making our bread. After Tochen, so we've now ground up our grain into flour. And the truth is that the next Malacha is actually Merakeh. After you have your flour, so you sift the flour to purify it. And that's really the next Av Malacha of Merakeh. But we've discussed Merakeh before. It came up in the context of Zorah and Borer, so it's not kedai to spend time on that one. So we're skipping Merakeh, and that brings us to number 10, which is Lush. The Lush is where we now have our refined flour, and what we're doing now is we are adding water and kneading it in order to turn it into a dough, which we're obviously going to throw into the oven. So we're mamash almost done finishing up the Sidur de Pas, and so this is our 10th Malacha. On a basic level, the next, our Av Malacha of Lush is this process of making dough, this process of turning flour into dough. Somewhere in that is going to be the Malacha of Lush. But the big question that comes up, and that's the topic of today's shiur, is where in the dough-making process is Malachas Lush? Because the truth of the matter is, the Gemara points out on Daf Yud Ches and on Kuf Nun Hey that there are really two stages in the process of making dough. Stage one is you first pour the water into the flour. And then stage two is you then knead and mix that mixture of water and flour to turn it into a dough. And so the question becomes, where in these two stages are we going to find Malachas Lush? That is the discussion for today. So we're going to spend quite some time just with the technical work to set up the basic shittas, and then ultimately we'll have our basic shittas that we'll work with. But let's develop the shittas here. So it begins with a machlokes tanoim on Yud Ches Amabez and Kuf Nun Hey Amabez. These are the two dapim. Wow. Okay. Unbelievable. Okay. It's like old times. Wow. Okay. These are the two dapim that are about Malachas Lush, the Kuf Nun Hey Amabez and Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So these gemaros we're starting Malachas Lush, Eitan. You just came just in time. These two Gemaras bring Machlokes Tanoim again between Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Machlokes Tanoim as to which of these two stages is the violation of Lush. Starting with the Shita of Rebbe. So Rebbe says a Lush is violated at stage one. When you combine the water with the flour, you pour the water into the flour, that is Malachas Lush de'oraisa. That is Shita's Rebbe, that Lush is violated at stage one when you pour the water into the flour. However, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda argues and says that no, really Lush is violated not at stage one, but at stage two. After you already have the water mixed with flour, however that happened, when you then mix and knead the mixture, after it was combined, the water is combined with the flour, when you now mix and knead this mixture, that is Malachas Lush Daraisa. So that is the basic Machlokes Tanaim that's going to be the backbone of Malachas Lush. Which of the two stages in the dough-making process is Malachas Lush? Is it stage one, where you pour the water into the flour, like Rebbe says, or is it stage two, when you mix and knead that mixture to form the dough, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says? Now, just to save myself some breath for the rest of Malachas Lush, which will be for today and next Chabura, whenever I say Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm just going to say Rabbi Yossi, so that I don't have to keep saying Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda and mumble it. But when I say Rabbi Yossi, I don't mean the classic Rabbi Yossi without a last name. I mean the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so with that disclaimer, fine. There's more technical work just to finish developing the shittas. So let's continue on. So the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Aleph again in Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis tells us that when we talk about Malachas Lush, we have to consider two different types of substances. There are two substances that have to be considered when discussing Malachas Lush. The first substance is called a bar gibel, something that's kneadable, that can be kneaded. Gibel means to knead. A bar gibel can be kneaded, kind of like bar kamsa, just get ready for 3 weeks. And then there's a lav bar gibel. A lav bar gibel is something that cannot be kneaded. What's the difference? So a bar gibel is something like flour. When you combine flour with a binding agent like water, so the flour can be kneaded into a firm cohesive mass, into dough. It becomes a firm cohesive mass. That's called a bar gibel, something that can be kneaded. Then you have a lav bar gibel. A lav bar gibel is something that, as much as you want to try and mix it, it's not going to form a firm cohesive mass, like ashes. The case in the Gemara is ashes. If you pour water into ashes and you mix it together, so you are going to have a certain thickness. There's some thickness to this mixture, but as much as you may try, as much as you mix it together, you're not going to form a firm cohesive mass. That's called a lav bar gibel. Now, everything we just said with this machlokes tanaim, Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi, as to if lush is violated stage one when you pour it in, or stage two when you mix it, it's talking about a bar gibel. When something's susceptible to being kneaded, like a flour, it can form a cohesive mass, but that's what Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi certainly are talking. That's what they certainly argue. The big question becomes, what happens if we have a lav bar gibel? How does melachas lush play out by a lav bar gibel? You have something that's not, you know, ashes and water. When you mix it together, nothing's going to form into a cohesive mass. How does melachas lush play out? So it goes like this. Working with the shita of Rebbe, Rashi and Kuf Nun Vav and Aleph tells us that it's going to be the exact same. Just like Rebbe says, when you pour water into flour, that's melachas lush te'oraisa. So too, when you pour water into ashes, the exact same thing. Melachas lush te'oraisa. What's the difference between pouring water into flour, water into ashes? Either way, you have this mixture, and that's going to be melachas lush te'oraisa. So Rebbe stays the same. The big question is in Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yossi, who is shorthand for Rebbe Yossi Yehuda, is Rebbe Yossi. Okay. With coronavirus, you got to make jokes, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to live with the punches. So Rebbe Yossi, hey, Josh is smiling. Josh Eisenberg, see that smile? So Rebbe Yossi, who said that lush applies at stage two, when you mix the flour with the water and you form that dough, well, how is it going to apply when it comes to ashes? By ashes, you can't form a dough. You know, by ashes, you can't form this cohesive mass. But how is Rebbe Yossi Shita going to apply? Once again, Rebbe is clearly the same. You pour the water into flour, water into ashes is the same. But in Rebbe Yossi, who needed stage two, where you knead it into a flour, into a dough, so how is that going to apply out by ashes where you can't make it into any cohesive mass? So this is a machlokes amoraim between Rebbe Yosef, the Amora, and Abaye. So basic machlokes amoraim, how does Rebbe Yossi Shita play out by a lav bar gibel, like ashes? Starting with the shita of the daya of Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yosef says that according to Rebbe Yossi the Tana, nothing's going to happen. Malachas lush simply can't apply to a lav bar gibel on a deraisa level. That lush was about kneading this flour into a dough. When it comes to ashes, you can't make it into any cohesive mass. So malachas lush is simply not going to apply on a deraisa level when it comes to a lav bar gibel. So that is the way that Rebbe Yosef, the Amora, explains Rebbe Yossi, the Tana. Fine. However, Abaye argues on Rebbe Yosef. Abaye says that no, really according to Rebbe Yossi, Malachas Lush will apply to a lav bar gibel. Not only did it apply to a flour that's a bar gibel that could be made into a cohesive mass, Lush is even going to apply by lav bar gibel, this ashes and water. How is it going to apply? When you mix it, you can't form it into a cohesive mass. Says Abaye that it's going to apply in stage one. Rebbe Yossi is going to agree that when it comes to a lav bar gibel, melachas lush deraisa is violated at stage one. When you pour the water into the ashes, that is melachas lush deraisa. So this is the basic machlokas amoraim, how to explain Rebbe Yossi by a lav bar gibel. How does lush play out by lav bar gibel? Rebbe, it's the same. You're chai when you pour the water in. According to Rebbe Yossi, do we say like Rebbe Yosef that melachas lush simply doesn't apply to a lav bar gibel because you can't make anything out of mixing the ashes and water? We say like Abaye that lush will apply at stage one when you pour the water into the ashes. So these are the basic shitas that comprise the backbone of melachas lush. We pointed out machlokes tanaim, Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi, whether lush applies at stage one when you pour the water into the flour like Rebbe, or stage two when you mix and knead that dough, the flour into a dough like Rebbe Yossi. And then we have machlokes amram, how does lush carry over to a lav bar gibel like ashes? Rebbe is the same. When you pour water in, you're chayav for pouring in the water. But according to Rebbe Yossi, you can't make a dough. So where does lush apply? Machlokes amoraim. Rebbe Yossi says lush simply is not going to apply in this case, midoraisa, maybe the rabbanan, but not deraisa. And Abaye says that it will apply at stage one. So that is the basic setup for the basic shittas of melachas lush. Penny, you had a question?
Yeah, and assumingly we're talking about lush by lechem apanim, right?
So it's machlokes, it might be herbs.
According to Rebbe Yossi, which one occurred in the Mishkan? Step plus stage one or stage two?
That's an awesome, awesome question. I couldn't discuss that. I can't get into the details of that, but that's a very good question. It gets into herbs versus lachem panim. You got to figure out. That's an issue, especially with herbs. You know, who makes herbs into a dough? You know, like... there's a machlokes where in the Mishkan this whole process took place. Was it lachem panim, like making bread, or was it like making herbs for the diet?
That could also be plugged into Rabbi Yosef versus a paella, you know?
Yeah, so good question. Very good question. Okay, now there's one last step in developing the basic shittas of Malachas Lash, which finishes the whole development, and that is as follows. There's a major machlokas Rishonim, whether Abaye's shita is rejected or not. Abaye gave us his explanation of Rabbi Yossi, that although by a bar gibel, by the flour, you need to actually knead it into a dough, but by a lav bar gibel, you're chayav deraisa for pouring the water into the ashes. And there's a major machlokas Rishonim, whether or not Abaye's shita is rejected. Because the issue is as follows. On the one hand, Abaye's shita comes up in two places. It comes up on Yuches Amin Aleph, it comes up on Kufnin Hei Yom Abayis. Now, on Yuches Amin Aleph, Abaye expresses his shita in a certain context, and he's questioned, but he defends himself and he survives. Abaye survives the questions, and he's up and you know, he's alive. But on Kufnin Hei Yom Abayis, Abaye again expresses his shita in a different context, and there he's rejected. There's a knockout blow from a braisa. Abaye's shita is rejected. So we have a little bit of a conflict. On Kufnin Hei Yom Abayis, he's rejected. Yuches Amin Aleph, he's questioned, but he survives. So how do we put it together? Is Abaye Shita hold Shu Lamaskana, or is it rejected Lamaskana? So this is a major machlokas Rishonim between the Rambam versus Tosfos and the Raivid. So just to spell it out, starting with the Rambam paskins against Abaye, that we're not going to paskin like Abaye. And the Machatzitz HaShekel spells out, because the Rambam feels that Abaye Shita was rejected. And when the Gemara in Kufnin Hei Amabez delivered that knockout blow, so that blow wasn't just knocking him out on Kufnin Hei Amabez, but it was a KO on the whole Shita Zabaye, even Yuches Amin Aleph, the whole Shita is knocked out, and that's why the Rambam paskins against Shita's Abaye. That is the opinion of the Rambam, whereas the Raivid and Tosfos on Yuches Amin Aleph, and the Raivid and the Rambam, they both say that no, Abaye Shita is not knocked out Lamaskana. It's true on Kufnin Hei Amabez in that context, when Abaye expressed the Shita there, so there he was rejected. But in other contexts, the Shita could still exist. Yuches Amin Aleph, Abaye Shita still exists. So that is the last detail that finishes off the whole spectrum of Malachas Lash. So again, last Chazara, we have Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi, the Chayiv for stage one pouring in the water, like Rebbe. According to Rebbe, you're always Chayiv at stage one pouring in the water. According to Rebbe Yossi, we have your Chayiv for stage two when you mix and knead the flour into water, into a dough. Machlokas Amoraim, how Rebbe Yossi plays out by Lav Bar Gibel. By Lav Bar Gibel, does he not apply at all like Rebbe Yosef? Or does he apply like Abaye at stage one? And then we pointed out there's a machlokas Rishonim, whether Abaye Shita is rejected or not, Lamaskana. Now, I spell out all these Shitas because they all come up lahalacha. Every single one of these Shitas comes up in Halacha Sfarim. Rebbe Shita is going to come up, Rabbi Yossi Lefi, Rabbi Yosef is going to come up, Rabbi Yossi Lefi Abaye, all of it comes down lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. But that being the case, in order for the sake of sanity and the sake of simplicity, so we're just going to work with two basic shitas. We're going to leave aside the shita of Abaye, because Abaye shita was rejected according to the Rambam, and we're going to work with two basic shitas for the sugya of Lash, just for the sake of sanity. Our two shitas are going to be the shita of Rebbe and the shita of Rebbe Yossi, as explained by Rebbe Yosef. Those are going to be our two shitas from Lachas Lash, just to distill all the technicality. We're done with all the technical work. These are our two bottom line shitas. Rebbe says that Lash is always violated at stage one when you pour in the water, whether it be flour that's a bar gibel or ashes that's a lav bar gibel, Lash applies at stage one. Whereas according to Rebbe Yossi, which we're working with Rebbe Yosef's interpretation, that Lash only applies to a bar gibel like flour, something that can mass together into a firm mass, and it applies at stage two. It applies when you mix it and knead it into a dough. It does not apply to ashes, mida or raisa. So those are our two shitas for the rest of Sugya of Malachas Lash. When we get to Halacha L'Maisa, so I'll point out how Abaye Shita plays out in Halacha L'Maisa. But for the sake of sanity, we're going to have two basic shitas, and we're going to leave Abaye Shita aside. Okay, so we're done with all the technical work. Everything else is just fun and games. Any questions? Hey, Dan. Okay. Ethan, you mind helping me set up the Carlos afterwards? Okay, yeah. Okay, so now the first issue we have to do now that we have our two basic shitas, is figure out what is the Hesber in this Machlokas. What's the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rebbe, who says Lash is Chayiv at stage one? What is the conceptual basis for the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says Lash is Chayiv at stage two? What are they arguing about on a conceptual level? Anyone want to give it a shot? It's not so difficult. It's really just a basic Hagdar. Yeah, Mordechai.
There's an Igle Tal has a Hakira whether the Malach of Lash is the combination of the Lach and the Yavesh, or is it the Yavesh to Yavesh with the just being
okay. Down okay. By the Lach? Okay, so that's how I'm going to go. Okay, so Mordechai just hit the nail on the head. Kedarko v'kodesh. So let's just elaborate upon what Mordechai just said. The Eglei Tal under Melechas Lash, so he makes a basic Chakira, exactly what Mordechai just said, to be Masbir this Machlokas. We know that we have our two basic ingredients in Melechas Lash. We have a liquid or some type of binding agent, and then we have our solid particles, our flour, our ashes, whatever it may be. And the question becomes, what is the conceptual role that these two ingredients play in forming Melechas Lash? What role does the liquid play? What role does the flour, the solid, you know, pieces of food play in defining Melechas Lash? So as Mordechai just said beautifully, Eglei Tal has a very beautiful Chakira. So it goes like this. One possibility is to explain that maybe both of these ingredients, both the liquid and the solid, are the key ingredients in Melechas Lash, where Lash is defined as the merging together of a liquid with a solid. When you merge a liquid together with a solid, that is Melechas Lash. That is possibility number one. Both the liquid and the solid are the primary components of Melechas Lash. When you merge them together, that is Melechas Lash. But then the Eglei Tal has another possibility, and that is to say that no. Maybe Melechas Lash, the Ikir component of Lash is the solid. Lash is about merging and fusing different solid pieces together. When you fuse different pieces of solid together, when you fuse flour together, or any other combination, you know, dirt together, if you fuse anything together and to form a cohesive mass, that is Melechas Lash. It's just that, typically speaking, you're going to need a binding agent. You know, if you punch flour a lot, it's not going to form into a dough. You need a binding agent like water or something else to bind the flour together. But the real definition of melacha is the yavesh, as Mordechai said, the flour, binding the pieces of flour together. And the liquid is just a hechi timsa. It's a practical necessity to bind the flour, but the melacha is really going on the flour. So that's the basic chakira of the Eglei Tal. Is lash the lach and the yavesh, merging the lach with the yavesh, the liquid with the solid? Or is lush really the yavish and yavish, the different particles of solid? Just you need the liquid just to be a binding agent so that it holds the solid together. That's the basic chakira. And as Mordechai pointed out, the Eglei Tal says that this is the basic hesver in the machlokes between Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi. So starting with the shita of Rebbe, let's go through the chakira. Starting with the first sad in the chakira, the first sad in the chakira was to say that melechas lush is defined as the merging together of a liquid with a solid. Well, if that's how we're going to define Melechas Lash, that occurs at stage one. When you pour water into flour, when you pour water into ashes, so you're merging the water with the solid particles, that is satisfying this first definition. If Lash is defined as merging a liquid with a solid, as soon as you pour the water in, the water is merging with the flour, it's meshing together, you're going to have a murky liquid, the water is merging with the ashes, you're going to have this thick mixture. And so that would be the definition of lush. And so this is the hesber behind the shita of Rebbe. Rebbe, who says that lush is always violent at stage one, whether it's a bar gibel, a lav bar gibel, that's working with this stan the chakira, that lush is defined as merging liquid with a solid. And therefore at stage one, that's when you have that definition. Moving over to the second stan the chakira. So the second stan is to say that no, lush is really about merging flour and flour, the solid particles, the food, the pieces of food together, merging them, fusing them together into a new cohesive mass, that is the definition of lush. You just need to add the water so you have a binding agent. So working with that sign, now things are different. Because when you pour the water into the flour, at that point, the flour particles are not going to fuse together yet. Maybe they'll stick a little bit, but they're not really going to fuse yet. They're only going to fuse once you actually knead it and, you know, mix it into a dough. When you knead it and mixed together, that's what causes the flour particles to fuse, and that's what makes the dough. And so that's why, according to that, we're going to need stage two. This is the hesber behind the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that lush is only violated at stage two, when you actually knead and mix the flour with the water together. He's working with the second sound of Chakira. Lush is about merging the flour with the flour. You need to make the flour and flour merge and fuse together. That's only going to occur at stage two, when you actually mix and knead this mixture. At stage one, when you pour in the water, and they just combine, they're floating together, they're not yet merged, the flour is not merged together yet. When you mix it and knead it together, that's when lush is violated. And working with this basic explanation, we can also understand now why, by a lav bar gibel, if it's not susceptible to forming a cohesive mass, why lush may not apply according to Rabbi Yossi. We're saying according to Rabbi Yossi, the definition of lush is merging solid with solid. Well, that's shayach by a bar gibel, something that's susceptible to forming a cohesive mass, like flour, can merge together. That could be a violation of this malacha. When it comes to a lav bar gibel, something like ashes, where you're not going to, as much as you mix this together, nothing's going to really form, no cohesive mass is going to form, well, then you're never going to really merge the different pieces of ashes together. They're not really going to bind together. They may stick together, they may adhere, they're not really going to merge. And so that would also explain why lush may only apply to a bar gibel and not a lav bar gibel. So that is the basic hesber in this machlokas, the basic hakira that is behind this basic machlokas deraim as to when exactly melachas lash applies. Does it apply at stage one? Does it apply at stage two? Any questions? Yeah, please, Mordechai. Yeah.
The blila racha, why would it be a problem it's not a problem, it's midaraisa, right? It's only midarabanan, I believe. How would that be explained if you held like the tzad that it's the mixture of a liquidy substance?
Okay, I mean, you're asking according to Rebbe, if it's liquid and solid, so how do you explain blila racha?
Right.
Okay, so we're going to discuss blila racha next week. But since you did ask this question, I will tell you that Rav Nevensal rejects the Eglei Tal because of your question. That I have Rav Nevensal Sefer, thanks to David Ben Chavrusa. So, so Rav Nevensal in his Sefer is bothered about that exact question. The way we just define Melechus Lash going to Rebbe was mixing the liquid with the solid, was meshing the liquid with the solid. Rav Nevensal says, if that's the pshat in Rebbe, so how can you add salt to your soup? How can you add coffee to your hot water? You have solid, you have liquid. They're mixing together. Why is that not a problem of melechus lash? So that's really your question, like on steroids. You're asking in terms of blila racha. So we're asking in terms of, this is less than a blila racha. This is a totally mutter. No one says you can't make coffee on Shabbos. You don't need a shinoi to make coffee or to put salt in your soup. That's perfectly mutter. There's no lash there. Ask for Nevensal, well, why is that so? If we're saying it's merging a solid with a liquid, when I put salt in my soup, Why is that not a problem? So because of this question, he rejects actually the Eglei Tal, but we're going to go with the Eglei Tal, and this question has to be considered. But maybe next week we'll touch on it. Okay, any other questions? Okay, so let's discuss now two nafkaminas in this machlokas. We might end a little bit early, but let's discuss two nafkaminas in this machlokas. Okay, so nafkamina number one is like this. Let's say a person is outdoors on Shabbos and there are no restrooms around, and all he has is a dirt, piece of earth outside, some dirt on the ground outside. So would it be mutter for a person to relieve himself onto the dirt? Talking about urinating. So would it be permissible for a person to urinate onto dirt outside? So the Magen Avraham brings up this Shaila, and the Machatz HaShekel says that this is actually going to be an afkamina between Rebbe versus Rebbe Yossi. Would it be motive for a person to relieve himself onto dirt outside? So it goes like this. Work with the shita of Rebbe. So Rebbe had said that when's lush violated? When you combine the liquid with the solid, when you pour in the liquid into the flour, pour the liquid into the ashes, that is melachas lush, right? Or conceptually we said when you merge the liquid with the solid, the merging is the melacha, both the liquid and the solid. That was Rebbe's shita. Well, if that's the case, that happens when a person relieves himself outdoors. If you urinate onto the dirt, so the urine is a liquid, the dirt is the solid, they're going to merge together. And so that would be a problem of lush, possibly midaraisa. And so according to Rebbe, this would not be permissible. However, moving over to the shita of Rebbe Yossi, so now things are different. Because according to Rebbe Yossi, when is lush violated? Certainly by a bar gibel, when is lush violated? At stage two. Lush is violated only when you actually merge when you merge the solid pieces together by mixing the liquid and the solid, by kneading it together, so then you'd have melechus lush. But at stage one, when you just put the liquid into the solid, that's not going to be an issue. That's not going to be an issue of melechus lush. So when a person would relieve himself onto the dirt, so that's the equivalent of stage one. He's just pouring the liquid onto the dirt. But he's not actually kneading it and mixing it together. So assuming he doesn't just start mixing that mixture afterwards, assuming he just leaves it there afterwards, that would be perfectly fine because this is the equivalent of stage one without stage two. So that is nafkamina number one in this machlokas, which is a somewhat practical, I guess, nafkamina, depending on what society you're living in, I guess. Certainly back in the day, it was practical. any questions? You good? Okay. Coming over to nafkamina number two. So the second nafkamina is as follows. This is a little less practical. And that is like this. We know that when it comes to Malacha Shabbos, so if a person would violate the Isra Malacha on Shabbos, he's going to be Chayiv Korban Chatas if he does it B'Shogeg, and he's going to be Chayiv Skila if he does it B'Mezid, depending on if a person, right, the Isra Malacha, Chatas B'Shogeg, Skila B'Mezid. Now, the Halacha is, as we've discussed in the past, that in order to be Chayiv, either Korban or to be killed, So a person has to commit a certain amount. There has to be a certain shear of the malacha that's performed in order to be over, for actually chayv a korban, or to be killed. Now, each of the different malachos have different shiurim for how to assess how much the malacha has to be performed to violate the malacha. When it comes to lush, so the Rambam spells out that the shear is a grogeres, talking in terms of a food item at least, talking in terms of flour, something edible. So the Rambam says the shear is a grogeres. The grogeres is a dried fig. If a person would need together, would be lush, a grogeres worth of flour and water, if you're lush, a grogeres worth of substance, so that would be the amount that you need to perform to be chayav for melechas lush. Now, the question that comes up in the Achronim is as follows. How do we calculate that grogeres? When we talk about a grogeres, a dried fig's worth of melacha, so how do we calculate this grogeres that goes into melechas lush? Because as we pointed out, we know we have our two ingredients. We have our water, we have our flour. So which of these two ingredients go into our calculation of a grogeres when we're evaluating whether you committed enough for us to throw you off a two-story building and then pelt you with stones if that doesn't do it? So the Eglay Tal wants to say that this is going to be totally on our chakira. Anyone want to plug this one in, see how this chakira will be totally on this shaila about whether we calculate the water and flour? What goes into the evaluation of the grogeres? Eitan.
According to Rebbe, you'd use both since they're both part of the Isser. But according to Rebbe Yossi, since the Isser is really only mixing the solids, you'd only calculate the solids.
Excellent. Mom, shrine the ball, just like old times. Yeah, exactly. So exactly, Eitan just said, Eglay Tal says that would be the nafkamina, that would be another nafkamina in this chakira. That working with the Shida of Rebbe, so Rebbe had said, what's the malach alash violated? When's it violated? At stage one, when you pour the water into the flour. That is a violation of Malachas Lash. Now, and working with the sheet that we said on a conceptual level, how do we define Lash? Lash is the merging of the liquid with the solid. When you merge the water with the flour, so that is going to be a problem of, that is the concept of Malachas Lash. Well, if that's the case, then both the liquid and the flour are key ingredients in this Malacha. They're both key components in this Malacha. And so we're going to take them both into account when calculating their grogeres. And so as Eitan had said, well, both the water and the flour would be going to the assessment. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, so we said in Rabbi Yossi, what is the real malacha of lush? It's really just the solid, fusing together different solid pieces of food. It's just that you need the liquid as a hechi timsa, as a technical binding agent, because the flour is not going to stick together. But the real malacha is just binding flour. So if that's the case, says the Gaital, we're only going to assess the grogeres based on the flour, not based on the water. You're going to have to do a grogeres worth of flour, the amount of a dried fig, of flour has to be bound together in order to violate Malachas Lash. So that is the second nafkamina now in this machlokas. And now I guess we'll do one last nafkamina and then we'll end a little bit early, especially because Eitan it's quite late there. he's in Eretz Yisrael, unless he came back.
I have chakras and I have to leave to in like 20 minutes.
Okay. We'll end early so you can prepare. So the third nafkamina is as follows. One last nafkamina in this machlokas, and then we'll end. Like this. There's a shayla comes up in the poskim as follows. There's some substances that can combine without a liquid medium. The case that comes up is mustard seeds. I haven't tried this out, but we can try it out sometime later. But apparently, if you have mustard seeds and you have a whole pile of mustard seeds and you mash them all together without applying any liquid at all, they could form into a cohesive mass. That is the point that comes out of the Gemara on Daf Kof Mem. The post can discuss this, that mustard seeds, they have certain natural moisture, and when you mash up these mustard seeds, they're going to form into a cohesive mass without applying any liquid medium. And so the question becomes, would lush apply without applying a liquid medium? If you just crush the mustard seeds and you form this big one cohesive mass without applying any liquid, could that be an issue of meleches lush? Anytime you have just solid particles, some food, and you mush it up and they form some cohesive mass without applying a liquid, so would that be an issue of meleches lush? So this is a shayla that comes up in the poskim. The Tilo David brings up a possibility that this is not going to be lush. Actually, to repeat, that it is going to be lush. Tilo David says that maybe it would be lush. Whereas the Chazanish says that maybe this is not going to be lush. There's a shayla in the poskim on this issue, but the lush would apply without a liquid medium, without some type of binding agent. So as you probably can guess, this is also going to be totally on our chakira. The starting point in analyzing this issue will be totally on our chakira. Because if we start with the first side in the Chakira, Shita's Rabbi. Rabbi Shita is that what's the definition of blush? Merging a liquid with a solid. That is Rabbi's definition of blush, barring Rav Nevenzel's rejection with Mordechai's Kasha. But barring Rav Nevenzel's rejection, that is how the Egle Tal explains Shita's Rabbi, that merging the liquid with the solid is Malachas blush. Well, if that's the case, you're never ever going to have blush without some type of binding agent. You just have the solid mustard seeds and you mash them together, there's no binding agent, you're not going to have malachas lush. Lush is about merging the liquid with the solid. And since you don't have that by mustard seeds, there would not be a problem of malachas lush, certainly not mida araisa. On the other hand, if we move over now to the second shita, the shita of Rabbi Yossi, we have a little more time, so I'll just say the full name, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Huda, so then it will come out that things are going to be different. Because Rabbi Yossi says that what's malachas lush? It's just the solids. It's really just about fusing the solid pieces together. The liquid's just a technicality. Typically, you're not going to fuse dirt and dirt's not going to fuse without water. Flour and flour is not going to fuse without water. The water's just the hechitemsa. The malacha is really just the dirt. That's why we don't even look at the water when it comes to the grogaris. So to here, it would follow that we don't need a liquid medium. Even if you just merge and mesh the solid pieces together, they fuse together without a liquid medium, that's going to be an issue of malachas lush. But that is nafkmina number three. And with that, we've concluded today's shir. So let's just summarize, just to quickly summarize. We had three parts to today's shir. In part one, we discussed all the technical work. We had the different shitas where lush applies. Rabbi says that lush always applies at stage one. Whenever you pour the liquid into the solid, that is malachas lush. Whether it's a bar giba like flour, water into flour, or a lav bar giba like ashes, that is always malachas lush deraisa, according to Rabbi. And we had the shita of Rabbi Yossi says that no, it's stage two. Malachas lush is when you mix it and knead it into a dough. We had a machlokas amarayim, how Rabbi Yossi plays out by lav bar giba, but we're going to work with the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, lush does not apply to a lav bar giba. By ashes and water, you're never going to have lush on a deraisa level. So that was part one of today's shir, where we had those two basic shitas that we developed. And then in part two of today's shir, we had the hesber, which was this chakir that Mordechai pointed out. Is lush the solid with the liquid, merging them together? Or is it the solid with the solid? Just you need the liquid as a technical binding agent, but it's the solid with the solid. That was the basic hesber in this machlokas. And then we had three nafkaminas lahalacha that comes out of this machlokas. Nafkamina number one is whether it's mutter for a person to relieve himself onto dirt outside because you're merging the liquid with the solid, but you're not forming it into a cohesive mass. You're not mixing it together. That was nafkamina number one. Nafkamina number two was the issue of how to calculate the grogeris. You have to do a grogeris, a dried figs amount, divide the malacha. Do we count the water in that assessment or not? According to Rebbe, we would count the water with the flour in combination. If they both in combination add up to a grogeris, that would be the malacha. That would be chia for the malacha because they're both a chelik of the malacha. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, the real malacha is just the flour. The malacha is just combining the flour. The water is just a technicality. So we just have to, you need a grogeris with the flour. That was nafkamina number two. And nafkamina number three was the issue of what if you don't have a liquid medium? If you could find some foods that would, sushi, I don't know, if you figure something out that you can merge it without any liquid medium, so would there be an issue of malachas lush? Point that out, that according to Rebbe, who needs liquid with the solid, there's not going to be any issue of lush deraisa, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, who doesn't need the liquid medium, there is going to be a serious issue of lush in that situation. So thank you very much for joining us. Next week, we're going to be off because of the Shabbat Shabbat Tammuz. So in 2 weeks, we're going to finish up malachas lush, and we'll get the blue larach and the interesting qualifications of malachas lush. Great seeing you, Eitan, and thank you very much for joining us. Hey.
Shkoyach Rav Chanoch.
Thank you, Shabbos.
Thank you.
Eitan, amazing seeing you. We'll email.
It's great to see you, Rebbe.